Welcome back to Gulf Coast Live. I'm John Davis. The African Children's Choir has been performing for audiences all over the world for more than 30 years and will come to Southwest Florida for a performance at the First Baptist Church of Cape Coral on November 26th. Over the years, choir members have performed with well-known artists such as Paul McCartney, Annie Lennox, Keith Urban, and Mariah Carey, just to name a few. However, the underlying mission of the choir is to raise funds and awareness for its humanitarian and relief efforts, helping Africa's most vulnerable children. The choir's parent organization, Music for Life, has helped to educate more than 52,000 children in the African countries of Uganda, South Sudan, Kenya, Rwanda, Nigeria, Ghana, and South Africa. Joining me now is the group's current volunteer tour leader, Kiara Carney, who is currently leading the group on its 47th tour. Welcome to Gulf Coast Live, and thanks for being with us today.
Oh, thank you so much for your time. It's a pleasure to be here.
I invite listeners to join the conversation as well. Phone lines are open at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. On Facebook, we're at WGCU Public Media. And on Twitter, we're at WGCU. Use the hashtag GCL. And Kiara, first of all, you know, your background is as a high school teacher from England, but, you know, now you've taken time away from that job to be the volunteer tour leader. Tell us about how you first became involved with the African Children's Choir and, you know, what has led you to take on such an active role.
Yeah, I actually just saw the choir. I had never heard of the African Children's Choir, never heard of a group like this, an idea like this. I was quite ignorant to the idea. And then two Junes ago, they came to my church in England and I went along. And I, before even meeting the kids, I spoke to the chaperones. And just seeing how much they loved what they were doing, them talking about the children, when they visited Uganda, what that was like, and just, I just thought, oh, this, you know, sounds pretty special. And then I saw a concert, and I mean, it's dangerous seeing a concert. And they, when you see the energy, the enthusiasm, the heart, the joy of these children, as well as the talent. I mean, these children are talented. As you said, I taught high school kids dance and performing arts, and these 8 to 10-year-olds are far more talented than any child I've ever taught. And I was just blown away by the concert, but mainly by, like, what they are trying to portray. They're trying to put a different side across to Africa's children, the hope and the dignity of Africa's children, and, yeah, kind of, my life ended up just, it seemed to be clear that this is something, you know, an opportunity I can't miss. So we've been touring around America and Canada with these children from Uganda.
All right. And how long have you been on the current tour? And I guess how long is your tenure as tour leader?
So you just sign up to do one tour. So each choir child does one tour, and we are choir 47. Over the 33 years it's been running, there's been 47 choirs, and I got to go to Uganda in March to see the school, to see some of the children's homes, meet their parents, and see what the organization does. And then we flew over here in April. We've been on tour since April.
Tell me about your experiences when you did get to go to Uganda, you know, what you saw there, and you know, specifically what the African Children's Choir's efforts have been able to do as far as transforming the lives of kids there.
Yeah, I think the biggest impact, first of all, was I got to see the school that these children go back to. These children go back to the African Children's Choir Primary School, which is a beautiful school right by Lake Victoria. All the children there are former choir members. So everyone there just has that same spark and enthusiasm for education, and it's just, you know, a very good school. Each child has their own desk. The teachers are well qualified. They study a variety of the curriculum. And then I got to go to a government-run school, and we have something called Music for Life Centers. And our university students, so these children's education is now paid for until the end of university.
Wow.
What happens with the university students, they get to that age where they want to give back. So they go into government-run schools, and they do after-school programs where they feed the children, they teach them singing and dancing, everything that the choir involves, but without the tour element. health and hygiene education, you know, teaching them games, social skills, everything. And then seeing the difference from sort of a government, where these kids went to school before the African Children's Choir, and then seeing the African Children's Choir primary school, the difference is huge. I mean, I know one of our girls went in her class, she had 100 children. And, you know, the teacher didn't know her name, and right. they weren't challenged. They were, and that's not of the teacher's fault, of course. That's just how the schools are. And so, I mean, the kids now love that they've got their own desk. And I just thought that that really impacted me. But I also got to see, so the other work we do in other schools, I also got to visit their homes, meet their parents, who were the most grateful human beings I've ever met. They were just so enthusiastic about the choir, so grateful for this, kind of like the biggest lottery ticket for these parents. Their kids are now cared for, they're loved. I mean, they're still their kids. They still go home, but they're being fed 3 meals a day, clothes are being provided, and then their education is being provided. And you have to pay for school over in Uganda. So same from like a 7-year-old until they graduate college or university, it's huge for them that it will be paid for. So, and, you know, seeing where these kids, I know where they're going back to. And, you know, they don't have electricity. They walk to the well for water and carry their jerrycans and share a bed with their 4 or 5 other brothers and sisters. And, yeah, kind of seeing the difference. But also how the organization links back with the parents, how there's a real connection with the families. We were just walking through the city one day, and the people who we were with, the kind of the managers in Uganda, said, "Oh, this is someone from Choir 46.
Oh, wow.
Mum lives here, and Choir 46 were currently in America." And he said, "Let's just pop in and say hello." And he got his phone out and showed a couple of recent photos of her child in America, and I just thought, they know where everyone lives, they know their names of all their parents, so it's not just about this child, it's about the impact this child can have on their families and on their communities in the future. And I was just really inspired by that.
You know, when the kids go on these tours, or, you know, at least in your experience on the current tour, do they experience a bit of a culture shock?
Oh, it's hugely different. But that's where they are at a training academy for 6 months before they start school. And during that time, their school is started. So they go to our African Children's Choir Primary School, the school they go back to. They're trained in singing, dancing, drumming, you know, the art of music. And as well as they're fed 3 meals a day, their health is being brought up, etc. But we actually have two former choir children. They graduated university, one's 29, one's 22 now, and they have been with them since day one. So they are wonderful because they tell the kids, you know, you're going to eat leaves, which are salads, you're going to eat something that looks like a mini tree, which is broccoli.
Yeah, yeah.
Spaghetti is not worms, you know. They've been through it, and now they get to impart their wisdom and their experiences and relive it with these kids. So the fact that everyone who was around them and works with them, and we've got these two chaperones who have experienced it as a child as well, creates it like a fun and safe place for them. So obviously there's a huge culture shock. Anything we do as a family, as a choir, is done kind of within the Ugandan culture. So we still very much keep their culture intact as we're over here. But, you know, they still love swimming and playing with Barbies and toy cars and eating pizza.
Sure. It's universal.
Well,
let's get a bit of a preview of what audiences in Southwest Florida can expect when the African Children's Choir performs here later this month. We're going to hear a song now called Parapanda, and it's sung in Swahili. Let's listen.
Malaika wana mulia wana.
And that was the song Parapanda, performed by the African Children's Choir. The group will perform a free concert open to the public on Sunday, November 26th at the First Baptist Church of Cape Coral here in Southwest Florida. We're speaking with the choir's current tour leader, Kiera Carney. Listeners can connect and join the conversation by calling 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. On Facebook, we're at WGCU Public Media. Or connect with us on Twitter, we're at WGCU. Use the hashtag GCL. And Kiera, that song we just heard, is that pretty representative of what folks are going to hear? Or is there, you know, broader than what we just heard?
It's far broader. We do have traditional African worship songs. And they are a highlight. I mean, the children sing beautiful, and they do sing in Swahili and in Luganda, the Ugandan national language. But we sing in English. We sing old gospel favorites like This Little Light of Mine and Amazing Grace. But the kids also play their own drums. They play their own instruments. So they drum as an accompaniment, but also we have a big drum solo and a traditional African dance. So there's a variety of languages and instruments and, yeah, dancing, singing, drumming. We've got traditional African costumes. So our costumes are also made by a former choir child. She now has her own business designing sort of dresses and costumes. So she makes all of the choir's costumes. And you get to find out a little bit more about the kids as well.
It seems like a position, you know, within a touring choir must be a pretty coveted thing. Do you know much about how children are selected?
Yes. So through our Music for Life centers, the centers I was talking about that are run in other schools as after school programs, so we get contacts with head teachers. We've also got contacts with pastors and social workers in lots of areas around Uganda. And through them, we're told kind of kids where education is at risk. These children are vulnerable, or their home lives maybe do not support them as well. You know, these children are in need. So we meet them, we meet their parents, we tell them about what we do. And then we have a selection weekend of about 50 to 60 children. They come to the city, they're fed, they play games, they kind of just watched, interacted with. They do a little bit of singing and dancing, but like in groups, just to make sure the kids enjoy what they're doing. Mm-hmm. And then after that, the children are selected. If they're not selected, though, quite often, they will be in the future choir. So we have a child that was due to be in choir 45 and then choir 46, but his education just wasn't there. He started school very late. He was struggling with school, so obviously, we still teach them on the road, but obviously it's less hours than you would have if you were full-time in school. So instead, he went to our primary school, got one-on-one tuition, they got his education up, and now he's with us. We've got another child that her health was quite low, so they encouraged her family and her parents, and now her health is up, and now she's on tour. So it's not like if they don't make the choir, we still support them either in our other programs or they quite often join another choir in the future.
And Kiera, I was reading a bit about the background of the organization and particularly how The impact of the AIDS pandemic was really just so tragic and widespread, and impacted the choir's work as well. It led to the establishment of the Children's Choir's first boarding school, the African Outreach Academy. Do you know if that was in part because, you know, so many of these kids had lost their parents?
Exactly. We did mainly start with just really focusing on orphans being part of the choir. So our choir conductor, who's called Lynette, she's from Uganda. She was in the choir when she was 8 years old. She lost both of her parents due to HIV and AIDS. And that was one of the ways she, you know, got known by the choir. So we do have a lot of children with the past of that now, luckily, in Africa, but also when we were over there in Uganda, AIDS is not a very big problem anymore, and it's very well controlled. So none of our children are currently affected by that, but we have had children that have lost parents as well. So they do come from a variety, their families kind of have a variety of different backgrounds.
And, you know, I noticed that the group has also, you know, I mentioned a lot of the big names that you've collaborated with, but there's also several, you know, primarily Christian musicians like Michael W. Smith and Amy Grant. The upcoming performance in Cape Coral will be at a Baptist church. You mentioned the first time you saw them was at a church. Is there a religious or specifically a Christian element to the group and its mission, or does that just sort of tend to make
we are a Christian organization, as in a good part of our work with the children is to disciple these children to become future Christian leaders. The idea of morals and the values that Christianity teaches, we try and impart on these children throughout training, throughout tour, and the majority of our performances are in churches as well. Yes.
All right. Not to mention, you know, Carnegie Hall, the White House, many of those prestigious venues.
Yeah, we were really lucky. We got to perform for the Lions Club International 100th anniversary in front of 14,000 people. So that was kind of our big, you know, exciting, different performance.
All right. Well, once your tenure as choir leader ends, what are your plans after the tour? Are you going back to England? Will you stay engaged with the group?
Well, I guess there's two things. First of all, I am forever an auntie to these children. These children call us chaperones, aunties and uncles. And, you know, I adore and love these children. Now, obviously, having 8 months with them every single day. So the choir really encourages you to go and visit them. We get to write letters to them. We get updates about them. So I know for that my life has changed, and I will be visiting Uganda because I am an auntie to two kids now. I would love to stay on with the organization. There's lots and lots of other avenues that the organization works in. And as you said at the beginning, we work in seven different African countries. So it's a question all the chaperones don't like, because it means tour is coming to an end.
Right.
What happens next? But I know for certain these kids will forever be in my heart, and I will forever be encouraging them and visiting them.
Well, Kara Carney, thank you so much for speaking with us today. Really appreciate it.
Oh, no problem. Thank you for your time.
And the African Children's Choir will be performing Sunday, November 26th at 10 a.m. at the First Baptist Church of Cape Coral. Our show today was produced by Rachel Iacovoni, Mike Canary, Julie Glenn, and yours truly. Our social media coordinator is Tara Callaghan. Gulf Coast Live is made possible through the generous support of the Elizabeth B. McGraw Foundation. For now, thanks for listening. I'm John Davis. And playing us out, we're hearing another selection from the African Children's Choir. The song is called Abataka and is sung in Luganda, which is a Bantu language of the Bangadu people and is widely spoken in Uganda. This is WGCU-FM Fort Myers 90.1, WMKO Marco Island 91.7 FM, NPR for Southwest Florida. We get out.